Welcome to the podcast, The Caring Scientist, Mission Sustainable. This is the podcast where we discuss sustainability in science and we give you hands-on tips on how you can reduce the environmental impact of your lab work.
Welcome to the fifth episode of our podcast, where we're going to focus on cold storage. Cold storage is one of the main reasons for the massive energy consumptions of labs. Because in labs, we store samples at different temperatures, like room temperature, 4 degrees, minus 20, and even minus 80 degrees. We know that a lot of energy is derived from burning fossil fuels, which emits the greenhouse gas CO2. It is estimated that approximately a quarter of our global CO2 emissions are due to electricity production. You may live in a place where a lot of electricity comes from renewable resources, but unless your lab is directly hooked up to renewable energy sources such as windmills or solar panels, you are emitting CO2 when you are using energy in the lab. So, Nicolina, what are the main reasons for cold storage using up so much energy?
Yeah, that's a question with many answers. But some of the reasons why so much energy goes into cold storage in the lab is the following. First of all, we often don't really maintain them as we are supposed to. So we don't defrost them, we don't clean the filters, etc. Then many freezers are actually also colder than they need to be. So it's quite often that the freezers that are supposed to be minus 20 is actually minus 24 or minus 28. And in that case, the freezer can actually consume as much as 20% or 50% extra energy. One of the main reasons is also that we have not the best habits when it comes to cold storage. So we store a lot of junk, like a lot of things and samples that we actually won't need ever again. But we keep it anyway. And I think there are many, many labs out there who have samples in their freezers that they don't really know what are, but they're simply afraid to throw it out because maybe these samples will be useful in the future. So there's a lot of alumni stuff in a lot of freezers in labs all over the world. Then we also tend to store things at the wrong temperatures just to be sure or because we think that colder is better and also maybe just out of habit or convenience. Maybe the minus 80 freezer is closer to you than the minus 20 freezer when you're doing your experiment. Or maybe there's simply more space in the minus 80 freezer this week and that's why you store things there. Another reason is that we generally have a lot of chaotic freezers out in the labs, and that also goes for fridges in principle. And every time there's chaos in a fridge or freezer, it makes us keep the doors open for much longer. And every time we open the door to a freezer or a fridge, then the temperature in there will increase, and then the freezer or the fridge will have to consume energy to cool down again. So the longer we keep the doors open and the more we open them, the more energy is also consumed.
Definitely.
And finally, there's a lot of poorly labeled samples in a lot of freezers that are taking up a lot of space without ever being used. So maybe these samples are actually valuable and important to keep, but they will de facto never be used because we simply don't know what they are. And they are not only a waste of resources when we talk about energy, but also it's a waste of reagents and it's a waste of time. And then the question is, of course, why are these things happening, right? Because I think when we talk about it, it's so obvious that these habits are really not the best to have. But still, that's what's going on in many, many labs all over the world. And Adriana, you are still working in a wet lab. Why do you think this is the case in so many labs that we have these not so great habits when it comes to cold storage?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I think it comes down that we are sometimes not aware about the environmental impact of our actions. And then again, it comes down to not feeling responsible again, like when we're working in an academic lab. Often we are very busy and we just simply don't have the time to change our habits. And I think one of the habits that a lot of us have is also that we keep samples just in case, because maybe these samples are super important in the future, you know, and that's how like this junk accumulation happens. I mean, we're thinking about the experiments in that case, but we are really not aware about that has an environmental impact.
I think you're so right about these things. I think if we knew the environmental impact, I think we would actually take different actions in the lab. And then I also think, just like what we spoke about with turning off equipment in general in the last episode, that when it's everybody's responsibility to keep the freezers maintained, then no one ends up doing it. So I think that's also like, how would you try to make these things happen in a lab? That's really a key word here. How do you make it not everyone's responsibility, but someone's responsibility?
Yeah.
So I think, for example, one thing that makes it easier to do the maintenance in the labs would be to make rotation schemes, for example, to make sure that people take turns every few months to, for example, defrost the freezers or remove ice buildup or clean the filters of the units. And alternatively, if rotation schemes is not really your thing, it could be someone's lab duty. At least in my previous lab, we all had a duty. Some were responsible for ordering specific things. Others were responsible for calibrating the pH meter or whatever. So maybe it could be someone's lab duty to do the maintenance of the freezer units. And then finally, if you're lucky enough to have a nice student assistant, then maybe this person would be willing to do it for you. That could also be a way to make sure the maintenance is done.
Definitely.
And then, of course, then there are all the habits, right? How do we change our habits? That's really the holy grail for a lot of stuff when we talk about going green in the lab.
Yeah, changing habits is extremely difficult. If you start doing things together or, you know, you have tasks assigned, it will become much easier. For example, what you can do in your lab is have freezer organization or declutter day, where you all together decide which samples you want to throw out, that you have better system in order, that you also defrost. Then I think it's a super important point is because a lot of samples build up in the fridge or in freezers after people leave the lab and they just stay there for many, many years.
Definitely.
Yeah. So having some sort of exit protocol for lab members when they leave the lab, that they go through their samples and, you know, they decide, okay, this is important for the future, somebody else will take over this project, the samples need to be kept.
I think that would be super useful. First of all, to make sure that you don't keep old useless stuff in the fridges or the freezers, but also to make sure that these samples are then labeled correctly, the ones that are actually useful, because otherwise they will never be used for anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because if you don't know what it is, I mean, you kind of do experiments with it, but I know from experience that those samples nobody dares to throw out.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it would be also good to introduce some sort of list where you write which samples belong to which temperature, just to share the knowledge, because often, as you were describing previously, Nicoline, we tend to just put it into the minus 80 because it might be even better because it's colder or just because it's closer to you in the lab. But having some sort of list where you write down which samples belong where would be very useful.
That's a really good idea. And then it could hang on, for example, the minus 20 freezers. What would be the typical samples that we keep at this temperature? And then sort of like a positive list.
Mm-hmm.
And that could also be hung, of course, on the fridges and the minus 80 freezers and things like that. So, you know, maybe not for all samples, but for the most regular sample types in the lab, where should we keep these samples? Then you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you produce a new sample. And like, how do I normally store this? How should this be stored? Then you already have sort of a guidance in place in the lab.
Yeah. And I mean, also just to kind of do something together and having some sort of reward system in order is, for example, participate in the International Freezer Challenge. I think, Nicoline, maybe you can explain a bit more in detail about this. How does this International Freezer Challenge work?
Yeah, I think it's such a great idea because I think one thing that can really make people change their habits is a little competition. And preferably, of course, a friendly competition, but I think that's something that makes people act. And in this International Freezer Challenge, which is organized by My Green Lab and the International Institute of Sustainable Laboratories, you basically earn points every time you take any green actions related to cold storage. So, for example, if you throw out samples, if you're defrosting your freezers, if you're making inventories, all these things. And then you compete against all the other labs who are enrolled. And that's many, many, many labs from all over the world, and both from the academia and from industry. And then you can either win the prize as, you know, independent lab or as an institute or an organization or a company. And then you are mentioned at the yearly I2SL conference. But in any case, I think even if you don't win, it's fun because, for example, neighboring labs would suddenly compete against each other and do these things. So yeah, the International Freezer Challenge is a yearly event and it spans something like 6 months. It's actually currently ongoing, so you can still sign up if you want to. We will put a link in the show notes. And otherwise, you can, of course, join next year or preferably every year to make new good habits and also maybe win some street cred in your center.
Yeah, wonderful idea. And I think when we're talking about energy consumption of cold storage, we actually also have to take into consideration that cold storage generates a lot of heat. And in order to counteract this heat, we need to cool down the room as well. So air conditioning is often in cold storage rooms because the warmer the room is, the harder the freezer has to work and the more energy it consumes.
It's a vicious circle. It totally is.
Definitely.
Because the more energy the cold storage units are consuming, the more energy the air condition has to consume as well.
Yeah.
So when we make good habits of cold storage, we are also reducing how much energy is going into the air condition.
Exactly. And I think it's also important to arrange your freezers in the right way in the lab. So, you know, not put them too close to each other because the whole room will heat up very quickly. So I think it's very important to, you know, have a good layout in the room and arrange them correctly. So maybe, for example, close to a ventilation unit so that the room doesn't heat up completely.
Very true. Those are really things that I never thought about when I worked in a lab. I mean, I sure could feel that when I went into the freezer room where we had the minus 80 freezers, it was a little warmer than room temperature, I would say. But then you go and you get your samples and your mind is completely somewhere else because you're doing, hopefully, meaningful research. And then you don't really get to think about how could we organize our freezers differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully you have facility managers who think about these things because, of course, you can't decide by yourself that you want to move all the freezers in your building. But in case you're wondering if your freezers could be organized a little better, not within, but more like on a macro level, then I think you should totally talk to your facility managers.
Yeah.
Another thing that you might want to talk to your facility manager about is to chill up your minus 80 freezers. And this sounds a little scary to a lot of scientists, but you can actually chill up your minus 80 freezers to minus 70 degrees instead.
Exactly. Because there are a lot of samples that are actually fine as minus 70 degrees instead of minus 80 degrees Celsius. However, there are actually also exceptions. And of course, it's also important to check and to be sure that your samples can be kept at minus 70. And I think Nicolina and me, we can talk for hours about this topic because there has been a lot of work done by different institutions in the industry and academia. And that's why we decided we will make a dedicated episode on this topic later. Nicolina, maybe you can let the listeners know why minus 80 freezers are so important to discuss.
So one minus 80 freezer can consume nearly as much energy as an entire household. And one minus 80 freezer is roughly the same as 10 minus 20 freezers when we talk about energy consumption. So that's also why it's important that you store things at the right temperature, because it's much better to run out of space in minus 20 freezers than in minus 80 freezers. It's much better energy-wise to get another minus 20 freezer than another minus 80 freezer.
Yes. So as mentioned, we will get back to this topic of minus 70 versus minus 80 degrees Celsius in a later episode. And this brings us to the end of this episode. And as always, we end up with a verdict. So the verdict for today is that cold storage may not be the sexiest and most obvious topic to discuss, but it's one of the main reasons why labs consume so much energy. So if we want to make science sustainable, we have to improve our cold storage.
And here comes our list of tips to do that.
Number one, be a minimalist. Don't keep things that you won't need again. Number two, make an exit protocol for the lab so lab members who are leaving the lab will not leave unlabeled or irrelevant things in the freezers. Number three, organize your freezers. Have a good overview of your samples by making an inventory list. By having a better overview, you also spend less time opening and searching refrigerators and freezers for your precious samples. Number four, fill up your freezers so you have high density storage. However, this only works if freezers are organized, so you don't have to keep the door open for long because it's messy and it's full. Number five, remove ice buildup and defrost regularly. Ice buildup on the inside of a freezer forces the freezer to work harder to maintain the temperature. Number six, clean the filters of fridges and freezers because this makes them work more efficiently and consume less energy. Number seven, don't go for the lowest temperature just because you can. Colder isn't necessarily better. Number eight, check the temperature of your minus 20 freezers and adjust them to minus 20. Be aware that the display may not show the actual temperature, so check it with a portable thermometer.
And with this, we have arrived at the end of today's episode. We hope you learned something and that you got inspired to take green actions in your own lab related to cold storage. If you have any questions or comments or any ideas for future episodes, then please reach out to us. We would be super happy to hear from you. Also, if you liked what you heard, then remember to tell your friends and colleagues about this podcast so they also can start taking green actions in their lab.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to get in touch, please feel free to email us at podcast@avasustain.com. That is podcast@avasustain.com. We have also put this email address and other useful links in the notes below this podcast. Till next time.